Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Talk H, sale, or GC?
Hello, Egg Chasers. Welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously, and the rugby podcast that is here with you 52 weeks of the year, even through these barren summer months. 3 weeks to go until... three more weekends, until... We've got the Avicii Premiership, the Pro 14, domestic rugby back. There is the Rugby Championship to talk about on this podcast as well, which gets underway next weekend. There's the Women's Rugby World Cup. There's some shenanigans going on in the England rugby camp. There's some transfers. There's some a game of rugby social. And we've also got two more clubs going under the microscope as we look ahead to the brand new season. So thank you very much for joining us. I'm Tim. JB's here.
Hello, Timothy.
And there's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
JB and Phil have been showing me the picture of the stadium they're going to be playing rugby at in America. The trip that I can't make. I'm devastated.
America!
America.
Not entirely sure I'll be playing. We'll see.
I will be playing. I will be playing.
Jay's
have
definitely
boots, will play.
Mm. I'm considering my options at the moment.
Devoed.
Oh, well.
How are you finding these? This weekend's been odd because there has been the Women's Rugby World Cup. That's been a thankful, welcome addition, but it feels so empty, so desolate.
It's good thinking time, though, isn't it? I mean, they say that kids should be bored occasionally. It helps their development. I kind of feel that maybe we should be bored, occasionally. Maybe we shouldn't have all this rugby all the time.
Yeah,
give me time to think.
I can go with that. Time to really ponder the upcoming season.
Yeah, I'm literally doing nothing but pondering the upcoming season because there are pre-seasons going on and they are quite interesting.
There are. I'm also pondering the new season because I've tried to ask myself, what would Phil do ahead of the fantasy rugby draft that we're doing? And I imagined that Phil, to win, would have done the draft.
Did you win
by compiling a spreadsheet of some description?
Didn't you lose ours on the last day of the season?
So I was number one in the world for much of last year. And then because of the ludicrous format of the two-legged semi-final but single-legged final, which finished on the 21st week of the season, and a load of players like Billy Vunipola and Louis Picamol have both got rested for that week. So I actually lost the final of our draft league to Bryn Williams.
Oh, did he? Yes.
Yeah, good lad. A deserved winner. I'm not at all bitter.
So I've been making a spreadsheet this weekend with my empty weekend trying to find some value down the draft. But pondering is exactly what SDC2807, who's left a review on the Apple Podcast Store on iTunes, leave a review there. We're also on Acast. But SDC left a 5-star review, and it was pondering that he was doing while listening to the podcast. He said, this podcast has filled many a good dog walk.
Mm.
The rugby discussions in this podcast are just like the idiotic, well-meant nonsense you hear in your clubhouse. There's an annoyingly bumptious radio contributor. There's a stat-filled quota of rule books.
Oh, and those are the compliments. Go on.
law books.
And a semi-professional idealist zealot. Now, I read those and thought, actually, well, firstly, I had to look up what bumptious meant, and it means crudely or loudly assertive. and that made me wonder whether am I the zealot in that, actually, of his description? Because when he says radio contributor, I'm a radio presenter.
Oh, yeah.
But you quite often feature as a contributor, so I wonder
Five Live, BBC Radio
And
Manchester.
That would sort of fit with my whole sort of like an idealist zealot.
You're an idealist and you're a zealot.
I don't know which one's which.
But you're not semi-professional.
No.
You're very much professional.
Yeah, so I don't know. So anyway, either or. I think it just probably highlights what we've been saying before, where the left and the right probably have more in common than...
Exactly.
...than differences. Anyway, he goes on to say, the best bits are when the boys disagree. Thankfully, this happens a lot. Let the boys play and keep broadcasting, otherwise I might have to put the dog down.
Now... in the wood chipper. Now, I've got a feeling that guy might be from my school.
Did his name give it away? What was his name again?
SDC.
Which is what we refer to St. David's College as, SDC.
Ah,
so
okay.
maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Maybe. And what would... Okay, well, there you go. So, on with the podcast. Leave your review. You can find us on Acast and on the Apple Podcast Store and anywhere else you get your podcast. That's probably where you're listening to one of those right now. So, where do we start then? What's been your the biggest thing, Phil, that's caught your attention this week?
Go on, Phil.
It's probably the only rugby that I have watched, which has been the bits of the women's Rugby World Cup.
Hang on. Now, I do want to talk about the Women's World Cup, and I don't want to discredit it in any way by jumping in with this. But what is the most egg-chasery story of the week? Women's World Cup.
Anyone would jump in with this one first.
The biggest story broke just as people were probably listening to our pod for the first time last Monday, and it was Denny and Manu getting kicked out of England's training camp.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah. I was so devastated that this happened just before, just after our podcast was recorded.
As we were recording, they were getting in taxis to go to London.
Yeah.
And then the best thing is, where is Penny Hill Park?
It is like Hertfordshire. It's sort of north London, near Watford.
See, I was assuming Penny Hill Park was like in the Bahamas somewhere, like a tax haven, like some sort of colonial tax haven which they flew them in. But that's quite a taxi ride, is it not?
That would have been a good 30, 40 quid, I reckon.
And the rest from central London.
Yeah 50.
22 grand 80. A game.
Yeah.
It's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. The thing which kind of stands out for me here is Manu must really like Denny. They must really have hit it off.
Yeah, this will be the first time they've met.
Yeah,
presumably. Unless they kind of introduce themselves at a Sale Leicester game, maybe.
I don't think so.
Yeah, anyway.
So was it that there was a curfew they ignored? Was it that they just were being unprofessional because they didn't report for training in the required state the next day? Or what exactly is the offence?
Yeah, okay. So what happened is they went for some drinks, ended up in London. I don't know if they were in London to start with or if they ended up in London. But they're in London, and then they got a taxi back very early in the morning to Penny Hill Park, and the next day was their first and only contact day.
Ah.
Which is tricky.
Oh, my word.
So they were only in camp. As far as I'm aware, they were only in camp for 3 days.
That's right. So how long was the England camp? Because people were popping in.
Well, no. As in, the England camp the camp was for 3 days.
Right, okay.
So the people involved in Lions had an optional 1 day.
Yeah.
Not
all the Lions did anything. Six came in for either the Saturday or the Monday.
What kind of option is that? Is that the sort of option where your wife says, oh, go if you want to?
and that was for a personal review as well. It wasn't for any physical training. That was for a sort of one-to-one personal review and goal-setting type session.
Oh, my God. What a day to come in wasted on your personal review. What a day.
Well, that wasn't necessarily... just how stupid.
Well, yeah, that's what... If Manu and Denny really hit it off and they really want to go for a few beers together, just wait 2 days. Just go at the end of the training camp. You got loads of time.
Yeah, so... Yeah, they came back drunk. But there is no curfew for the England team and there's no alcohol policy for the England team.
No, and I like...
Which is great.
I've always liked that about rugby is that it's not this whole... And you get this in the tabloids... Oh, there's a sex ban, there's a booze ban, there's a curfew in football World Cups. It's just treating adults like kids. Treat adults like adults.
And then when
you
they
give
behave
them responsibility
like kids,
when they behave like kids, then
slam them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I can kind of agree. They were just idiots, weren't they? Just absolute idiots.
It feels so stupid. It's 2 days after Eddie Jones was waxing lyrical about the potential of Manu as well.
Yeah, if he's fit, he plays. I mean, that's a great message to send to someone like you know, whoever the next centre is, Pierce Francis or whoever. It was very, very silly. I don't understand why they couldn't keep it in-house, though. It didn't strike me like something they need to put on a press release and need to flaunt in the media.
Culture.
But what is the culture?
Showing the culture.
We'll just throw you under the bus.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the culture is bring them in, tell them off, send them back, don't pick them next time.
But depending on where they were and what they were doing, there could have been people taking photographs and stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, well, nothing. I wonder, just because very little has actually come out about this, has it?
Yeah, I wonder if it's a... No, it can't be a press thing, because I was thinking, like, maybe they had the picture taken and someone phoned up the England camp and said, look, we've got these pictures, and they kind of preempted it. But then, why didn't they... Why were there no pictures? Why was there nothing? So it makes me think they could have kept it in-house if they really wanted to. I don't see what the point is in tarnishing these players any further. The worst thing for Manu is every time he does something wrong, they roll out his rap sheet.
Yeah.
And it's not a particularly bad rap sheet. It's a rap sheet of a 26-year-old man who's got loads of fame and loads of money.
Exactly. And cast your mind back to when we were going through the tour stories during the Lions tour, and we talked about Robert Blair, Paddy Mayne, the Irish and British and Irish lock,
yeah,
and the japes that he got into. And Manu just jumped off a ferry and went out on the piss.
Jumping off a ferry, to me, is a key indicator you should definitely be playing for your national team. It's not a negative. I mean, Paddy Mayne would have jumped off a ferry, no problem. The big difference is Paddy Mayne would have had a knife between his teeth. I mean, that is it.
But it's just, if you could pick two guys, I mean, not that anyone should have done it, but if you would pick two guys that probably have not necessarily more to prove, but more would be looking at this like an opportunity.
Yeah,
those two are right up there.
Yeah.
Well, I think Manu knows he's got credit in the bank because he's such an outstanding specimen. And if he comes back to Leicester Tigers and he plays to even a quarter of his potential, he'll probably walk back into the squad, regardless of if he's drinking hard or not. As for Denny, it's not quite so clear, because his England career was in tatters until 30 seconds before the end of the first test in Argentina.
Oh, God.
He scores that wonder try.
The worst start to a debut.
Yeah.
And then the best finish to a debut. Yeah. Like, the contrast between missing three tackles that let in two tries and then scoring
the winner.
It was the winner.
Yeah, it was
scoring
the winner.
The winner in the 76th minute and beating half the Argentine team to do so.
It was quite incredible. Yeah, and remarkable. It must be a weird thing, wasn't it? I mean, you're in some Yorkshire town. You've been ferried over from New Zealand. You're on next to no money for a professional rugby player.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're in the Premiership. Then you're at you're playing for Sale Sharks. You're one of the leading try scorers over that period of games that he's played. You're elevated to the England squad. You've gone to Argentina. You've scored the winner. And now you're drinking with Manu Tuilagi.
Yeah.
His two...
What a 6 months.
His two caps for England would have got him virtually the same amount of money he was on per year at Castleford.
Yeah. I mean, it's no wonder that he wants to have a drink or two.
Yeah.
There's a lot of success very, very quickly for him. So
yeah,
it's a shame, but you know what? They'll laugh about it at Christmas.
They will, but there's just so much time to go out on the lash. And if there's a anyway, it's a shame. So
let the boys play.
It is a shame, and it does. The fact that it's been raised does suggest that it was quite serious. Like we've already said, the England boys are given quite a lot of credit. There's no curfew, no alcohol ban. They must have turned up late in a pretty bad way, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you're probably... I mean, you're almost certainly right. You don't come in at 4 a.m. sober, do you? What happened? We wanted the late-night Chinese? No.
And it's 2 months till the autumn international squad will be announced. So if there's a 50-50 call to be made...
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
Well, you know, if Manu's fit, I doubt it'll be a 50-50 call. Solomon, a bit silly.
Yes.
It is. Go on then, Phil.
Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
So I've not watched all of it by any stretch, but I've seen the England games, albeit they've only played Spain and Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And they rested quite a few players for the first game, played around with the squads a little bit, but they've had two very handsome wins, scored a bag full of tries.
I saw one great try against Italy, a brilliant offload from a front row, which led to a cracking try. Did you see what Jeff Probyn wrote or tweeted?
I've seen the headline of his rugby paper article.
Go on.
Which was something along the lines of, I don't see why the women's game needs a World Cup.
Yeah. I'm puzzled why the women's game needs a World Cup. What I quite like, so that was...
What does he mean by that, exactly?
It's a good question, to be honest. I've not read the article.
Yeah, I mean, is he just saying it's not big enough or the quality's not there? I mean, that could be part of it.
I guess there is an argument to say a World Cup where you've got, I'm not sure how many teams, 12 or 16 teams, perhaps the quality isn't wide enough to support that many. Because, for example, Hong Kong have played two games.
Mm.
They lost 98-0 to Canada in their first game. And then you think, oh, well, Canada are a pretty good women's team.
Yep.
They'll get someone easier next time. Oh, no, they get the Black Ferns. 121-0.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
No one's benefiting from that game, are they?
But then you go back and look at... it's only the last World Cup that the Tier 2 nations actually started to be more competitive. Prior to that, you would look at Japan, who beat South Africa in previous World Cups, got absolutely humped. I think the world record defeat.
Yeah.
141-0 or something, was it?
Against New Zealand? Yeah, yeah.
My view on this is, actually, Probin's completely wrong on this.
Yeah.
Because the gap between the very top women's team in the world, which is probably England,
will
be a lot smaller than, say, Spain or even Hong Kong. I mean, yes, England ladies are very, very good.
Women, England women. Sorry, I know this is me being an idealist zealot.
What are you talking about?
It's the Women's World Cup, not the Ladies' World Cup.
The ladies.
Ladies.
The ladies.
Ladies is kind of...
Actually, not only the ladies, right? I address my team, my Tok H team, as gentlemen. So they will be ladies, thank you very much.
If it's the Gentlemen's Rugby World Cup and the Ladies' Rugby World Cup, I'm down with that. But right. If it's men's and ladies, that's... anyway, that's the idealist zealot in me.
I just can't wait for the non-binary World Cup, because that's the only correct World Cup. So where was I with this?
Probyn's a wrong'un for...
Yeah, he is wrong, because if you think about the difference between New Zealand and Uruguay, I bet there's a much bigger gap between those two than there is between England and... all the competing nations.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they are the best, but they are still... Well, they've had their 15s contracts cancelled now. So, I guess next year they'll be amateurs again.
Worth reminding people that there's lots of rugby which you can watch via the World Rugby website.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And all the... Follow their Facebook page, because all the highlights come on through there. That's a very easy way
good matches
of absorbing
I mean,
it.
Men's and women's. When there's a load of games on which you want to see, but you just can't get through, like, mainstream media, here we go, through normal media, like, was Georgia USA on there? I think Saracens USA.
Oh, I've watched a few Georgia games. Georgia Samoa, Georgia Russia, Romania Spain, those kind of games.
Mm.
Like, normally they're normally available through World Rugby. Very good,
there you go. Now, just a quick question before we move on for the Women's World Cup, because I want to ask this question. Do the women's teams naturally kind of coincide with how good the men's teams are? What I mean by that, are there any women's teams that are substantially better relatively than the men's teams?
I think the USA team are pretty handy.
Mm.
They're one of the better teams.
They're very, very good at supporting women's sport in general, aren't they? Like team sports.
Canada are also good. So Canada beat Wales 15-0 this weekend, which you probably wouldn't see. The other way around.
Probably not.
France are very good, which is not surprising, but France hammered Australia 48-0 this week. Yeah.
That is surprising.
They've got some proper units in that French team.
Yeah. I've seen a few of the tries they scored. Pretty handy.
That's probably a tiny bit of a world rugby microcosm for the state of Australian rugby anyway.
Maybe. Maybe.
Oh, God, yeah, we'll have to get onto that in a bit. Jeez, what a mess.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so quick interlude. I've been keeping an eye on the social media accounts of Rugby Union Internationals and their girlfriends, obviously.
Of course.
Of course. But I have got a quick game of rugby social.
Mm. Oh.
So, firstly, starting with James Haskell. Was James Haskell on Instagram complaining about... Well, his Mrs. Chloe Madeley calls him a conspiracy theorist. So James Haskell was positing a conspiracy. But was the conspiracy an environmental conspiracy, an artificial intelligence conspiracy, or a nuclear war conspiracy? Yes, JB.
Nuclear war conspiracy.
Philip?
I've seen a few of Haskell's Instagram posts this week.
He's on Instagram, is he?
Yeah. from the ones I've seen, he was just banging on about social media influencers, if I can even say it. So I'm going to go for artificial intelligence. Okay. Not that they're linked, but
influencer marketing is a massively growing sector.
Very lucrative.
Very lucrative.
He was rather scathing about social media influencers.
Yeah, I might be as well.
As in the people or the...
The people.
Yeah, so there's some people that they build up an audience and then they get paid a crap ton of money to, yeah,
like
to flog stuff.
There's quite a lot of YouTubers. Zoella or something.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah, all of that stuff.
To flog Herbalife and that kind of crap.
But it's because mainstream advertising you get bombarded with so much.
Oh, I'm with you. So, I mean, I had a business idea. It's to set up a podcast to sell razors.
Never work.
That won't work.
I'm not doing it yet.
Right, you're both wrong.
Oh, right.
It wasn't artificial intelligence or nuclear war. It was environmental conspiracy. So James Haskell was pointing out the fact that he gets given so much grief to make sure the recycling is put in certain bins and only certain types of things. And then when his recycling, his local council come round, they lob it all in the same back of the same lorry.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'm not sure that's true.
And then they export it to Brazil. Landfill. That's what they do.
Landfill.
So anyway, no points for either of you there. Next one. Was Manu Tuilagi spending his weekend walking his dog, getting smashed in London, or jumping off a ferry?
If he's not getting smashed in London, I'm not playing any more of this game. That's it. It's done.
This weekend that we are currently finishing. Yeah. Right, okay. So he's definitely... He's got to be walking his dog. He's an idiot if he's not walking his dog.
Point to Phil. I'll move on to the next one. RD Surveyor. Was he having... In the New Zealand camp, was he playing cards with the bros? Was he drinking coffee with the boys? Or was he having a cake with the lady?
Ooh.
I'm going to cake with lady.
Oh, I'm going to go cake with lady. Cards with the boys.
Sorry, cake with a woman.
2-0 to Phil.
Yes.
He was playing cards.
Cards.
And Corbs, was he on social media showing off his new beard, his new car, or his new deadlift personal best?
Oh, this is a slam dunk.
It could be any of those, to be fair.
No. It's not his new beard, because he didn't get rid of the old one, from what I can remember. He's had a beard for a long time. He's slimming down, so I can't imagine he's lifting much. But he loves posting about his car, which will undoubtedly be a BMW.
He does love his BMWs. I think so. I've seen a few videos of him in the gym. He's throwing some serious tin around, so I'm going to go for... deadlift PB.
It's a 3-0 whitewash to Phil.
This is a joke.
Guess what his deadlift PB is.
Oh, okay.
Closest to the pin. Right, sorry, two reps. So this is two reps. This is two rep deadlift PB. Ooh.
He's going to be 5 kg lighter than me, I'd say. So I'm going to go 230.
No, 230 is my two rep, and I'm 30 or 40 kilograms lighter than him.
Wait, it was Team JB. That you were on when you did that.
I was.
It's averaged out, actually. I'm about that. It was credited to me.
Team JB, yeah. Team JB got the PB.
Correct.
I'm going to go for 270.
Do you know what? 250.
250.
Mm. You're not far off Corbs.
Proportionally. Well, I'm quite a way ahead.
Yeah,
I'd
you
say.
Are. Like, but weight to...
power to weight ratio.
Well,
power
Jones
to weight ratio.
Was watching Phil do deadlifts. And... he was like, that's not far off what I can do. So it sounds like Corbusiero is a proper beast, actually.
250
for two reps.
250 for two is very good.
And he was having no gaps between the reps.
Yeah.
He was doing
touch and go.
He was doing like 200 for 10 and no gaps, just straight up and down. Bosh, yeah. bosh.
200 for 10 is very good.
He's looking in good shape out in Miami. It's all right, isn't it?
How the other half live.
Yep. Yeah. All right, so that's Rugby Social. Phil smashed it. Let's get on to... Right, I tell you what, transfer rumours, because this is the other interesting story that's happened this week, isn't it? Before we'll get on to Rugby Championship and our two clubs.
There's a few bits of movement in the transfer market this week, yeah.
The most eye-catching, Sir Charles, for next season, is going to be going to Bristol for £900,000 per year, a £1.8 million 2-year deal, that he will be this time next year. unless someone else gets paid more, he will be the highest paid rugby player on earth.
Oof. Is he a good player? Yes.
Yes.
Is he the world's best rugby player?
No.
No, but...
Top five?
No.
Top five in his position?
No.
But really? Probably not.
Probably not. But what I would say is he... Where does he rank in players who can play every game if fit?
Play every game and play in a variety of positions as well. So yeah. He can play 13, wing, 15. Equally adept in all of those. He's also... He's 25 and he is available.
So
how many people... How many All Blacks of his age are available to Northern Hemisphere teams?
It makes a mockery.
Very, very few.
It makes a mockery, doesn't it, of the stance that the players take to stay with the All Blacks when you're getting paid that much. I mean, don't get me wrong, All Blacks is a very special shirt to wear, so on and so forth, but I can't imagine anyone in that squad is getting anywhere near that amount of money.
No.
Unless the All Black match fee is that high.
No.
Which is why I think the All Blacks are going to do what they have done a little bit more and let players go off and... make their coin
sabbatical.
Straight after the World Cups and stuff. Go make some money, come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I actually think that's more important, not for the players themselves to make money, but for the fringe players who aren't getting a game in the All Blacks to then get that All Black money in replacement.
That's a good point.
Because there's something kind of sinister about the All Blacks in a way. And it's, you see so many lads who are so good at rugby kind of hanging around in New Zealand on fairly low pay by, I'd say...
Compared to if they went to France or the Premiership, yeah.
Yeah, and it feels like, I mean, they're not wasting their careers. They're doing a pretty good job and they might be an All Black. But if they went away, they'd get so much more. So actually freeing up those All Black spaces, if that's what they actually do, is a pretty shrewd move because the boys need to get paid.
They do, yeah.
I would actually contest that Charles Peatow is worth every penny of this.
I think you're not far off, to be honest.
Not only is he worth every penny, I actually think if he was in the All Black squad, if he's still in New Zealand, he would be a regular All Black.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
That would automatically put him into probably top five in the world in his position.
Yeah.
But just because he's not there, it's easy to discount him. And then I guess there's a premium as well to move from a club like Ulster, who are such a fine established club with good systems, over to Bristol, and you don't know what the future holds there.
No, it almost smacks of what Bristol were doing kind of for the last 5 years, I'd say, prior to them actually getting promoted, spending big, bringing all the players in, and then falling at the final hurdle.
Now there's no playoffs now, so they could be done in the Premiership by Christmas.
Mm. Yeah, true.
Well, as near as damn it.
Yeah. But we'll be over by Christmas, yeah?
There is no salary cap in the Championship. There is in the Aviva Premiership. 900,000. The current salary cap is, what, 6 million? Something
about
like
seven,
that?
Seven, I
seven,
think it's close.
Seven or seven and a half. But it's a humongous wedge out
double
of that.
Marquee. It'd be one of the two marquees.
Yes, you're right.
It can't not be.
Well, hang on. If there's no salary cap, there's no marquee players.
Not in the Championship.
Yeah, but
when they come up.
As soon as he gets the Premiership. Yeah.
And they've got Madigan there. I don't think he's cheap.
No, he won't be.
Who's a nine? Because obviously they lost Cliff. He was probably their best nine. Oh, no. Albie Mathewson.
Yeah.
They brought Matthew Albieson, as we kept calling him.
Yeah.
Which is it?
Madigan won't be cheap. And Luatua won't be cheap as well.
There is a foreign player limit as well, isn't there? In matchday squads.
Yeah.
I wonder how that will affect things next year.
Is Mathewson somehow... Oh, no, he's got a cap. So, no, it doesn't matter.
Unless he's got a British passport
Commonwealth
passport.
When you say foreign player limit,
overseas players.
Overseas who are capped by someone else or like... So for instance,
no, because there's... So Commonwealth countries fall within the cap.
Yeah.
So they don't count towards it. So I think South Africans and a lot of...
Is that Colpack?
A lot of Islanders, Colpack, I think it is.
So you've got a mix kind of domestic competition law, as in like the actual laws of the competition, with the laws of the land, which is quite complex. So Jonathan Mills always used to talk about trying to keep his EQP, English Qualified Player, to be more valuable for sale. Hence he turned down Warren Gatland so many times playing for Wales. But that's why he did it, because then you're worth more. So it's different to that, isn't it? It's actually...
Yeah, it's Copac. So it's European citizens and also citizens of Commonwealth, I think.
Yeah.
Because there was famously the South African cricketers coming to England as effectively English or European players.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it's hell of a signing. It's hell of a signing.
Mark Tainton, who's now the
operations director,
he said this is great value, and pointed out as one of his bits of evidence that Charles Pietau is great value at £900,000 a year by saying when he was at the Blues, he averaged 1.5 tries per game, which shows the quality he's got. I don't know where he got that statistic from, because Charles Pietau...
1.5 tries a game is remarkable.
I think it was 43 games and 8 tries, I think. I'll have to be corrected on this. But that's not to say he's not...
43?
I'll check the actual stats, but certainly what Martin Tainton said is not anything close to being correct.
1.5 tries a game is ludicrous.
1.5 tries... Okay, it's also a weird way to value a player.
I think he was looking at points... It was 1.5 points per game. So he played, let's say he played 20 games, he got 30 points.
I tell you what, this is one hell of a lucky accident by Mark Tainton, isn't it? Misunderstanding the stats and then ending up with Pietau.
So even that, I'm just looking, his Ulster is actually running close to 2 points per game. But that's 4 tries every 10 games. It's, His Blues was 40 points in 41 appearances, so just less than 1 point per game. Whichever way you slice it, his Wasps was also close to 2 points per game.
Amazing.
So it's like he scores a conversion, the equivalent of scoring a conversion every game.
A try every 2 and a bit games.
There you go.
2.5 games.
I can't help but
certainly not a try every 1.5 tries per game, anyway. The other one, so Ulster have got one more year with Sir Charles, and they also have what could be capping a final part of an amazing story with Christian Lealeofano joining.
Which all the noises coming out are that he's joining. I've not seen anything official to confirm that yet, but it seems very positive.
It does sound positive. I mean, it's kind of right time, right place, wrong situation. But let's hope he comes over and makes a good fist of it and goes back, a better player and resumes his Wallabies career. I mean, that's what everyone hopes for it.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him play.
Yes,
a really, really
amazing story.
Positive story. Yeah, it's great.
Truly remarkable story.
Yeah. What's not? I'll save those other little bits for later on. So we've got two teams we're going to throw under the microscope. Mm-hmm. As we look ahead to the season, the new season coming, I think we're halfway now, aren't we?
No,
we're not even halfway, and we're running out of time, so we might just have to do like a separate podcast with a couple of teams on. Yeah.
So we're 4 down.
Okay, so
4 from each league down.
Are we going to Vici?
Yeah, and then since we started, the Pro 12 have decided to add 2 extra teams. That's not helpful.
So for every 4 we do, they're going to add an extra 2 teams.
It sounds like it. It sounds like that's exactly what they're planning on doing.
It's like running in sand.
Yeah, so despite the Pro 12's best efforts, we will get through these, even if it means an extra podcast here or there.
Yes, absolutely.
Is it Newcastle Falcons?
We do have the Falcons, and we also have...
Connacht.
Connacht, yes. Do you want to do Treviso and Connacht?
If you feel you're capable of doing Treviso, absolutely. Because without serious prep, I'm not sure I could do
them
justice.
Let's do Treviso next week.
Okay.
We could do both
Italian teams next week.
Generic Italian rugby next week.
I imagine it might be quite short.
God. Okay.
So, Connacht or...
Connacht first.
Connacht first. Where to start?
The beginning. Such a dad joke, isn't it? Go on.
Okay. So... Interesting looking at their outs and ins. They seem to have released quite a lot of players, including Boshoff. Man, it's Boshoff.
Great name.
The 10.
The 10, yeah. Now, they have brought in a 10, Deegan, from Waratahs, Australian, who's, from what I can tell, seems to be probably third choice at best for the Waratahs. So maybe it's like for like. Maybe it's not quite like.
Well, Boshoff never came with any great expectations, did he?
And AJ McGinty before him never had any great expectations.
True, but McGinty turned everything round, and Boshoff didn't really seem to do very much.
Boshoff was meant to be their guy. Was he back up at the Lions?
Yes, Golden Lions.
But he's now gone. Is he going back to South Africa?
I don't know. He's just listed as being released. So presumably we'll go back to South Africa. He might play some Currie Cup.
Okay.
And go from there. Other players. So the other kind of name that's been released is John Cooney, who's scrum half, played a little bit of fly half, but was always back up to Marmion. So it doesn't feel like they're losing many players. They will be very glad so far to have kept hold of Bundiaki.
Yeah, they've done very well keeping hold of him.
Yes, particularly with Pat Lam leaving.
Yeah, well, did he not sign his contract before Pat Lam left?
And then he tweeted and then deleted a tweet after Pat Lam went, saying something like, I can't remember what it was exactly, but it was to the effect of like, oh, for F's sake.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty unhappy about it.
Yeah.
But, so that's the outs. The ins, they brought in Rory Scholes, former Ulsterman, who was over at Edinburgh, who's a handy winger. But they've already got two very handy wingers in the Nigerian chap and Matt Healy, who's a very good player.
If you hadn't said the Nigerian chap, I would actually have given you his name immediately. Adiolokin.
Adiolokin.
There you go.
Yeah.
But he threw me off.
And most of the rest of their squad seems to be there or thereabouts. So they've got a fairly handy team, but perhaps not the depth as some of the other.
And that two seasons ago is the exception rather than the rule.
I don't think it is. Okay, so there's a couple of things here. So first of all, the big difference between Connacht now and Connacht in the past is Connacht have money. They have there's kind of a more even funding share now between the four provinces.
Are you listening, ARU?
ARU?
The Australian Rugby Union. Are you listening when you say that spread around on the various coasts of your island? And
oh, right, anyway. I see. Okay. But they're probably not listening. second of all, I think the Pat Lam revolution was a little bit more than just a one-off. There was a huge emphasis on things like academy, and also a huge emphasis on things like systems. So they kind of, as I spoke about last week, they have built this identity. You know, they know how they want to play, they know what they want to look like. And I actually think that will stand them in pretty good stead.
It's interesting though. So they finished eighth last year, and they were not high the year before that. If you graph their league position, it's consistently 7th, 8th, 9th with this one where they finish first and then immediately after back to 8th. So from that perspective, it does look like an anomaly. And there's a few things you can tie it to, probably the biggest one being the World Cup, because there were so many players who were unavailable.
Yeah.
The window for the Pro 12 was squeezed because of the World Cup, which meant that there were games going on during the Six Nations.
I get it. Right, okay, so I do understand that, but I still think the winning of the league was far more than just the World Cup, because that's why playoffs exist. If it was just a table, just a table, I don't think, I'm not sure they would have won, actually.
Maybe they finished second, but
I could see why it'd be more favourable and this would be, you know, as it is. But they went and beat Glasgow, and then they went and beat Leinster in the final. So it was far more than just, you know, this one-off. They started playing a completely different brand of rugby. That's continued. And there's a lot of chat, isn't there, about, you know, was it green shoots to green shirts and lots of, you know, there's lots of good things there which I think will set them in much better stead going forward. Certainly more promising than, you know, the Dragons and Edinburgh and, you know, all the other dross in the Pro 12 who just can't get it together. That's kind of what I mean. They've got their stuff together now and they just need to build on that.
I think solidifying the kind of situation they are and, you know, steadily try and grow. The fact, as Phil said, they've kept the squad pretty much together.
Yeah.
Couple of additions. Yeah. That's a good thing. I don't think it'll be a trophy winning season for Connacht, but
unlikely.
But
you never know.
But sneaking qualification for next year's European Champions Cup, maybe.
The biggest thing will be whether they do keep that style of rugby that Pat Lam got them playing. Whether they do keep that now that he's gone.
Yeah. Oh, well, they absolutely should do.
Unquestionably, they should do. But
don't forget,
will they?
I mean, yes, they did finish poorly last year. And I was going to say, oh, look, they beat Toulouse. Well, did Toulouse not finish third bottom of the top 14?
Beating Toulouse is not the accolade it once was.
But beating Wasps is.
Yeah.
So, all credit to them.
Definitely. Right, so I'm going to bring something up before we move across to Newcastle. And we were talking about all the wonderful things and what a wonderful story Christian Lealiofano is and what a great signing Sir Charles is. There's some other things this week, and I'm not even talking about Manu Tuilagi here, which are and Denny Solomona, which aren't quite so good. And it comes in the form of Steve Hansen.
Oh, Steve.
So
poor Steve.
Someone try and explain this to me. So I don't know what this product is, particularly in New Zealand. It's obviously a New Zealand product. It's a type of biscuit. And I'll tell you what, let me just play the advert.
Many stories of how the apocalypse began. This tale is one of sportsmanship.
He sounds so bored, yeah. Doesn't he?
He must be one of the most fascinating men in real life, because every media appearance, every time I hear him speak, he sounds like the most wooden, boring person.
So his previous acting work was he sounded boring because he was advertising like garage doors.
Yeah.
So you're going to sound boring. Now he's talking about the apocalypse.
Yeah, talk about the apocalypse. There are many theories about how the apocalypse happened.
Yeah, by the way, he's perfect to be a garage door salesman. I mean, his mannerisms couldn't be more suited to that job.
Let's hear him.
They're off. It all started when the boys sat down for a game of basketball. Naturally, Nonu thought this was a perfect moment for some shapes, which it was, except Izzy.
So the basketball he's referring to is a computer game basketball. And yes. And Nonu eating shapes. Shapes is a type of crisp.
Or biscuit.
Or biscuit.
And by the way, this is the All Blacks coach endorsing eating shapes whilst playing on, computerised basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
Great culture, bro.
Gobbled the lot.
Bro, he's losing his biscuit.
This upset Nonu so much, he took his ball and went home. This caused a glitch in the system and, broke the internet, which gave a legion of pale-faced gamers no choice but to go outside, which led to a rumoured zombie apocalypse, which led to a slight overreaction.
Kaboom!
Sadly, we may never know the truth, but the moral remains the same. Never, ever lose your biscuit.
And there's Steve Hansen driving off into the sunset in a Mad Max post-apocalyptic world with a leather jacket on.
Have I got the moral of the story broadly correct? Which is, they think so little of the gaming community that if they weren't to have any games to play, they would come out of their houses like zombies and effectively ruin all of New Zealand.
Not just New Zealand, the world.
They are only a small power cut away from ruining the world.
Yes.
Wow. I don't know. What happened to the no dickheads rule? Because it's an awful, awful advert. It's just an awful advert.
Never, ever lose your basket.
What kind of gambling debts does Steve Hansen have?
Why does he need this cash?
Yeah.
My little brother was at a charity auction a few weeks ago. And Warren Gatland was raffled off for, I think, 12 grand it was. To go and cook someone a meal at their house for six.
Warren Gatland?
Yeah, Warren Gatland was raffled off, okay?
Yeah.
God knows what Steve Hansen could get for cooking meals in people's houses in New Zealand.
No one.
He does biscuit adverts.
But, and by the way, no one bid for Warren Gatland to climb a ladder and clean their windows.
Oh, I'd bid for that. I mean, with a fortune.
Wow.
Up he goes.
I think maybe Steve Hansen has taken one for the team because the.
Oh yeah,
spread all the proceeds out. The premise,
nice and evenly.
Yeah, the premise is so bad, and the catchphrase is so awful. Never ever lose your buskets. That maybe he just went, boys, I'll take this one.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You guys chill out. You focus on Bledisloe 1. I've got it.
Just how parochial is New Zealand. He's done biscuits and garage doors.
It's still not as bad as Chris Robshaw doing Beats by Dre saying. God. What did he say?
We always back ourselves at home. Directly before the 2015 World Cup.
Beats by Dre is a multi-billion pound empire.
Yeah.
Biscuits and garage doors.
Beats by Dre is a serious product.
Yeah.
Apple
own it.
Yeah, Apple spent a lot of money.
Chris Robshaw was doing adverts for Apple. He's doing, what, adverts for Apple-flavoured biscuits? Come on, Steve, you're better than that, allegedly.
Yeah.
All right, Newcastle.
Newcastle Falcons
jump into the Avicii Premiership. We've had a couple of reviews come in the last few days, actually.
The last second, someone's just sent one in.
Alex Telfer being one of them. So I'll go with Alex's and then supplement it with...
Are you going to read it, Tim?
Yeah, I've got it here. If you want me to, you can.
That's all right, no, because I've got it up here as well.
Okay, well, chip in as and when. I'll try and summarise it as best I can. So Alex Telfer talks about the previous season and highlighted that Falcons finally found a way to finish somewhere other than 11th. And... actually signed players fans had heard of.
Yep, which is important.
And so there's a general feeling of optimism ahead of the new season. I think Dean Richards, we gave him plenty of credit throughout last season.
I think so, yeah.
What they did with the pitch and then the style of play and the recruitment.
Yeah.
I think Dean Richards has done a really, really good job. I still think they're going to find it very difficult, but we'll get into that. So several seasons of process... has finally started turning into results. The best season since... See, I didn't know this. Thank you, Alex, for letting us know. Best season since Johnny Wilkinson was at Newcastle.
Wow.
And do you know what? Johnny Wilkinson never had many particularly good seasons there. He might even have missed the... I'm pretty sure he did miss the time when they won the title.
It was him and Rob Andrew were both...
Rob Andrew, Twiggamala, yeah. Those sort of boys.
Gareth Archer.
Pat Lamb,
yeah.
There's loads of good lads.
Off the field, things continue to improve, with finances improving whilst not being great still. Attendance is up last year, season ticket sales hitting new highs, new backroom facilities at Kingston Park, and a fully committed owner in Simul Kurdi. Now, I was there for a couple of times, and it's really cool. And the same thing happens at Saracens. The number of schools that use the facilities for rugby, which is great for promoting the game. Yeah. You had these schools games going on and... then all these games going on throughout the afternoon into the game. And then, as I say, they're developing the sort of conferencing facilities, which is one of the things that the Exeter Chiefs have made a backbone of their business.
Mm.
The only blemish was the sudden announcement of a top home fixture versus Saracens being moved to Philadelphia.
Blemish?
Being announced what? After season tickets were sold.
So you get one less game for your season ticket.
I think they do get some sort of rebate, though. They get something for it.
Well, he doesn't sound very happy about it here, but Alex points out that after hearing the financial reasons for it, most fans have come around to it. So I gather it's quite a lucrative process to go through. Anyway, departures. Marcus Watson off to WAS was pretty much the only regular player leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Powell, Tom Catterick, Moritz Boater retired, or they all retired due to injury. But that's quite good in terms of retention. And then in terms of recruitment, I mean, God, it goes through every position on the field.
Yeah, so it does go through every position on the field. There's a couple of things I'd like to pick up on here. First of all, I might mention that I nipped up to Glasgow to see how things were done there. And they've got a board of all their top lifters, like top bench press, top squat, top this, top that. And it's for the current squad, it's all time. It's also the all-time squad. And the name that keeps on popping up over and over again, John Walsh.
Not really?
Yeah. And if you don't know who John Walsh was, or is, because he's still alive, he is the prop.
John Walsh,
who did a little chip and chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a mighty strong man, I might add.
And Tim Archer, on his review of Newcastle Falcons, said that the performance of last season was built on the pack with guys like Mark Wilson, Will Welch, John Welsh, Scott Lawson, Callum Green, setting a really good platform. They have got a little bit of dog in their front five.
Yeah.
Which has made a big difference.
Yeah, and do you know what? Thinking about it, I actually think the plastic pitch makes a huge amount of difference to them, because last year they spent quite a lot of time putting flankers in at second row. And maybe if you're on a heavy pitch and you need that extra bit of physicality, that's not a great idea. But if you're moving the ball side to side, and they really do move the ball well, having that extra flanker probably makes a bit of a difference. Mm.
So into the back line then, where we've in the past they've got some really exciting guys out in the wide positions with Gonaver and Sonotti, to name a couple. Toby Flood brought in at fly half. Where do we stand on that signing? I'm a little bit dubious as to how that will play out.
It's expensive. It gives you a bit of class, gives you a bit of winning experience.
I hope so.
Nice. And the worries I have with it, it's a little bit like Exeter last year, when Exeter went from the guy who they trust and they know, and they ran Slade at 10 for a few games. It didn't quite work. And it's not because Slade isn't as good or better player than Steenson. It's just because it's a different combination. And do they sacrifice what they've got there, which they know they've got, and they've got a nice team shape, they've got a nice way of playing, and disrupt it by putting Toby Flood in there, who could be a completely different player?
See, I actually quite like it.
I like it, definitely. It gives them options. I think that's more important.
I think it's... So, the number of exciting backs they've got... So, yes, they've lost Marcus Watson, but still having Gonaver, Sonotti, Lord Hammer of Hammershire, bringing in DTH van der Merwe...
Good, yes. Good signing.
And strengthening their centres.
Maxime Mermoz and Matavesi
alongside Cicino, who was one of the best centres in the league last year.
I'm going to go further than that. I think he was the best 12 in the league last year. Unless someone can name someone better than him now, he was the best 12.
Certainly in terms of number of games he's played.
Footwork, try scoring.
Yeah.
You know, maybe defensively he might have been found out. I don't know. I didn't watch enough of him, but I certainly watched his fantasy points come in.
Yeah.
With the amount of tries he scored. So he's and that's another one, isn't it? So you've got Hodgson, who's been developing all year. You've got Cicino, who's been excellent. And now you've got Mermoz. Is he backing him up? Is he going to be 13?
I think Mermoz will be 13.
I think it'll probably, if I was guessing, it'll probably be Matavesi, Mermoz and Cicino backing up.
I think it'll be Cicino and Mermoz with Matavesi as an
option. That'd be nice.
Well, and also, Flood plays a lot of 12.
He does. That's the one thing I do really like about Toby Flood, the age profile. You've got a bit of class. You've got one of those guys that knows what he's doing, been around the block, and that will really help Joel Hodgson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason he couldn't revert back to 15. He's done a lot of 15 too. Toby Flood's a very flexible player.
And Toby Flood is not the most flashy, but... You don't need the most flashy fly half when you've got the talent that he's got outside him. And also, Takalua, as the scrum half, is brilliant.
Mm.
He's electric when he gets the ball.
Yeah, and pretty good kicker. Not that really matters too much.
No, because you've got other kickers in the team, like Flood and Cicino.
Yeah, I'd love to know how they're going to knit this lot together. It feels like they're building for something else rather than they're building a squad this year to do something else with. And what I mean by that is, when you see squads being assembled where typically you've got two players per position and maybe a little bit more, it's because they've got a European Cup campaign on their mind. Well, Newcastle don't have that. They certainly don't have a Champions Cup a campaign to contest. So I wonder if they're kind of building it with that in mind, and this season they're looking for that...
Top six. Top six is everyone's target.
Mm.
It wouldn't surprise me if they get a good run in the European Challenge Cup. They've got the team to do it.
Yeah, I think
they've got the squad to do it.
They did all right last year, didn't they?
I can't remember.
They definitely went to Newport and won there, but everyone goes to Newport and wins there. I would say this team is going to pick up. I mean, I think they'll start strong, but I think they'll pick up a lot of their wins during the winter at home.
Plastic pitch.
They can play the rugby. They're ready for it. and they've just got to hope that they don't get Saracens at home during the winter. And to be fair, someone like, I reckon a Worcester versus Newcastle game is going to be a belter because they're both going to be playing
on the plastic pitch,
basically
yeah.
the same way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big, strong pack, exciting backs.
And fairly few errors.
I'm fairly positive about this Newcastle team. Now, I think getting into the top six is going to be difficult because it's going to be difficult for absolutely everybody.
I don't think they're going to lose any internationals in the autumn. Maybe DTH. I don't know if he'll go away to Canada. Obviously, if he's,
yeah,
I don't know what the deal is with those kind of guys, but
yeah,
I don't think they're going to lose anyone. Which
maybe someone like Nili Latu to Tonga. Perhaps.
How old's Flood?
32.
No chance of him getting a recall, is there?
No.
Very unlikely.
Well, when's the next World Cup?
2019, June. A year and a half. Well, yeah, just under 2 years.
It's not when's the next World Cup, it's how many players. Bearing in mind, basically, England have called five players at inside centre who were all fly halves squad.
So, serious question.
He would be like 10th in line.
Serious question. When he left, he was the incumbent 10.
Yeah. Right. Not far off.
And all the guys that have bought in that 12 position, except for Ben Taylor. Or maybe except for Manu, but you know we don't know what Eddie Jones is going to do with him because we've never seen Eddie Jones play him. Just saying, they've all been distributing 12s.
Yeah, true.
And Flood's a big lad as well. He's like 6'2". He might even be bigger than that.
He is 6. He's not that big, though, as in he's 6. He's listed as 91
kg. Yeah. The important question in terms of his sort of physical appearance is, has his Empire State Building, that has his Statue of Liberty gelled haircut, like the kid out of In Between Us, changed at all?
I hope not. I hope not, because his power will certainly decrease then. Do you know what?
Are you seriously putting his name forward for an England recall?
Well, Eddie Jones says that the day that he already knows the day that he's going to resign, the day after the World Cup, he's got one task and that's to win it. And if Flood is the best guy for the job, and I don't know if he is, I'm just saying, if he does show up and is the best guy at Newcastle in that 12 position, why not?
I don't think he's going to play in that 12 position.
Well, that's it, isn't it? If he doesn't...
He's not.
I think he'll play 10.
He's not, and I don't think he's... I think he's better at 10 than 12.
Yeah, I think he's better at 10 than 12, and I think in either position he is at least 10th in line for England, probably lower.
I'm not sure. I don't think he's nearly as low as you think. I would just make I'm just making arguments now that if Eddie liked him, he'd be able to move. He'd be able to move Farrell into 10, which I think he likes.
Come on, put your money where your mouth is. Well, is Flood going to play under any Eddie
because
Jones?
Because money where my mouth is I'm going to put £10 on Flood having a 15% chance of making the England team.
So it's a non-statement. Why are you making such a big deal about?
I'll put 90 quid on him having an 85% chance.
Because what's
going to
happen
not...
now, right, is my pride's going to get in the way. I'm going to make good arguments. I'm a good advocate, even when I don't mean it.
Are you trying to butter him up for an interview? Is that what's going on here?
And then I'm going to end up putting 100 quid on him.
Starting the first autumn international
with Leo Vegas. Hear me now, believe me later. No, I'm not falling into it. I've done it with Anthony Allen. I've done it with Miles Benjamin. I won't fall into it.
Damn it!
Almost had him there. You put the bait out, Phil. You did your best. So Newcastle. Then.
By the way, injury robbed me of my Miles Benjamin England appearance. That's the only thing. As with Anthony Allen, carry on.
World class rucker.
Yes.
So. Where do we stand on Newcastle's hopes then?
I think 6 is easily... Not easily. I think it is very obtainable for them.
I think it is. I think 6 is possible. I think it's unlikely. Just the number of teams who are so good and are building. So particularly the two who didn't make the top 6 last year. Gloucester under Ackermans, who have strengthened their team. And Northampton, Northampton can't be as bad as last year.
I think they can.
I just can't see it.
They were that bad, and they nearly snuck it. They could have snuck in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
you know, I actually think the Premiership in standard has gone down a tiny bit, maybe one or 2% this year. And I'll explain this a bit more in a minute. Someone like Newcastle have basically kept everyone. Except for a couple of injured guys. And
Marcus Watson.
And they've added substantially.
Yeah, true.
I think they are much better going into this season than they were finishing last season. So for that reason, they're going to be, they're not going to be in the bottom four. Will they be in the middle four? Yeah.
Who is it? Who do you think is in the bottom four then? You've got Irish, Worcester, Sale and Quins? Sale and Gloucester?
I think Gloucester and Quins probably.
So Sale are not in the bottom four?
No, I think Sale will be kind of the bottom of the top four, I would guess.
Bottom of the top four?
Sorry, bottom of the middle four. Bottom of the middle four.
So you're saying Sale will be seventh or eighth?
Seventh or eighth, I'd guess, just whilst they're building. I think Newcastle will storm ahead.
So you think Newcastle will be top six then?
Yeah, but I mean, let's find out, because Sale have got Newcastle on the first weekend of the season, Friday night game.
Hmm. Interesting. I think if Newcastle do get eighth again, they'll be happy.
Yeah.
They could possibly push for seventh, and they could push. They'll be in the reckoning. I mean, they were only 3 points off top six last time round. So I think they'll be in the reckoning.
They're definitely in the reckoning. They have to be.
They'll definitely be in the reckoning. I just think other teams have got bigger players,
just
better experience.
Move on, I'm going to say this. I think Saracens are not really much stronger than they were last year, but don't worry about them. They'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, don't worry about Saracens. Saracens have brought in two enormous players into that already enormous pack.
Liam William. Oh, no, gone.
Will Skelton and Tolofua.
They're both
20 stone, and Will Skelton's like 23 stone.
Yeah, I think Exeter will just carry on. We'll just kick on. Leicester have undoubtedly gone backwards in terms of personnel. There is no two ways about it that they have. Northampton have lost the only thing about them last year, which was truly world class, in Louis Picamole. Gloucester have lost a few they've added a few, but you know, no great shakes there.
Wasps.
Yeah, I'd say Wasps have gone backwards too.
We said this the previous year, and they finished top.
Yeah, whereas a team like Sale, and I'm going to say Sale and Newcastle, have probably strengthened their teams more than anyone.
Possibly, but they're starting from a lower base to strengthen from.
Yeah.
Interesting anyway. Tim, what say you? Newcastle, top six, top eight?
I think they will have a very settled team. The home advantage is working for them.
Yeah.
And I like the recruitment they've made. I think it's very pragmatic and it works for them. And I could see them repeating what they did last year, which, as you said, was the best performance. Again, it's not quite the outlier performance like Connacht's was.
No.
But you could argue it's a slight outlier performance in that it was a wow. They've picked up a bunch of wins at the start of the season, and then they picked up more wins. I think they'll do well to repeat that.
Yeah,
I would say ninth would be my guess.
Well, possible. I don't know. Somewhere sixth, seventh, eighth, something like that. Before we move on from Premiership matters, I want to mention this because it did come into the news, and we've not got it on our schedule. But I'd be interested to know what you think. Johnny May and what's his face swap clubs.
Ed Slater.
Thank you. One of the interesting things that came about this is Leicester paid Johnny May out of the last year of his contract.
Yep.
Yep.
Didn't they? And they've closed this loophole now.
Yeah.
Which means...
The loophole is, so a club can recruit a player. I don't know if Gloucester had to agree, but whatever the case, the amount of money that Leicester paid is equivalent to the annual salary of the player for 1 year, or the annual salary that they're going to pay the player for 1 year, whichever is greater.
Yeah, the previous salary or the new salary.
So Leicester still had to agree to it. Sorry, Gloucester still had to agree to it. That's how they worked out the amount of money. I don't think it's that any club can just buy a player.
Yeah.
Can take a player for that amount. But maybe it is.
Well,
is
you can buy him out of the contract, and it's now for the two clubs to negotiate. But here's a bit that I don't like. The money that they negotiate with them doesn't count against the cap, and it should do. I think this would be a really interesting thing to do. So if I want to buy Phil, right, from Ulster. No, that's a terrible example, because Ulster are on the Premiership. From Sale.
If we want to recruit Jeff Probyn for the podcast, for his thoughts on
maybe
women's
Jeff,
rugby.
Maybe someone else.
Yeah.
But if we wanted to, right, If you wanted to recruit a player from a Premiership team.
Yeah, we want to get Jonathan Joseph to pour champagne on the floor for us.
Exactly. During a podcast. That's, yes, that's what we're buying. Let's forget
podcast,
the Avicii. Yeah. That's what we want. Yeah. So like, let's use this. So Jonathan Joseph, we want a champagne pourer for the podcast. Right?
Yes.
We've identified Jonathan Joseph is the best in the business.
100%.
We want 100%. Him.
I would need to pay £500,000 to secure his services, say, right? So Bath say yes, I say yes, off we go. That should count against my salary cap on top of his wages.
Ooh.
And the reason I like this is because I really dislike the idea that someone can land in a Premiership club and say, okay, I've got loads of money, I'm going to start buying these players and then putting them into teams. And the reason I don't like it is not some, you know, idealistic nonsense. It's because, well, the rules of the game are there. And also, the only people that stand to benefit are the clubs. The players don't get any additional money for it. They just come on board in as they are. So it'd be better for everyone if they let the contracts run out and then they can offer them a whacking great big contract if they want. But in the meantime, the clubs have got to do what Saracens have done so successfully, which is work hard, identify talent and develop young lads. And that's it.
So you already do get the benefit for doing that because you get the academy credits.
Yeah.
So right now, Itoji, for example, is more valuable to Saracens than anyone else.
Yeah.
Because of the academy credits. So your idea would go a little bit... it would actually go a lot further than that.
So, for instance, I'll give you an example. Like Piatow, someone like that, if he was... Or Tumua.
Okay.
Academy credits.
So no academy credits, yeah.
Nice big salary, nice player. I go out and pay you $2 million to have him on my books. So $2 million is completely written off, even though that is, you know, one third of someone's salary cap.
Well,
then I just pay him, you know, $500K or whatever it is, and I can continue to replicate this trick over and over again.
But so the law change will make that more difficult because it becomes negotiable. So rather than just pay him, say he's at 300K at Leicester, rather than just pay him the 300K, you now Leicester will say, no, God, no, it's worth 600K to me because I've got to go and try and find another Matt Tumua, and how many of them are available in the market?
Exactly.
So this, it probably already does move in that direction.
I just think build your team properly, identify talent properly, bring them through properly.
One interesting thing that was raised, I think it was Pat Sanderson that raised it. He was making a point that Saracens, when they're looking ahead in the future, they're in a position where they might not be able to afford to keep the players that they have developed.
Unlucky.
Which you say unlucky, but I'm sort of on the similar theme. I wonder if you should incentivize in some way developing international players through your academy by expanding the cap when you do.
Maybe.
So it works similar to academy credits, but...
And the English qualified players credits, they both do work in that way, but perhaps expanding that.
Expanding that slightly. So you've got another couple of examples in... I mean, look at the Saracens second row. You've got, potentially, by the time the World Cup comes around, you could have three of the four locks.
Yeah.
Could be Saracens.
If everyone starts behaving like Saracens, I don't mean, you know, cheating on the cap. I mean... going and finding young kids and you know, identifying good,
developing them into world class players.
If everyone does that, no one's going to be too worried about losing their world class players because everyone will have world class players which they have developed. And as for Saracens, if you're going to lose Maratoji because you can't, well, you'll probably keep him, but then you'll lose Cruis or someone.
Or whoever
it is. Here's a lesson for you. Go back into the schools, go back into the clubs and find the next one. And just keep repeating the trick.
I mean, all the clubs are trying to find players of that calibre, aren't they?
Well, some clubs are definitely doing it more than others because you wouldn't say that about Bristol, who've just splashed 900. I mean, how many talented kids could 900K get you? A lot.
Yeah.
An awful lot. You know, and how many are there? Well, they found Cruis, they found Itoji. They found the guy whose name I'm not going to pronounce because I can't.
Ezekiel, Jackson Ray,
Jamie George,
Alex Good.
Oh, look at that. It turns out there's loads of kids.
Earl.
Yeah. If you bother developing, there's loads of kids. People said about RGC, there is no talent in North Wales until they went out there and developed it. So that's how you do it.
I think that is dismissing the fact that the clubs are trying. Perhaps some are doing it better. Well, undoubtedly some are doing it better than others, but I think they're all trying in various different guises.
Yeah, I mean, they're slowly coming around to it because they can see, Once someone
just how
does
big
it,
a benefit
yeah.
is.
Once someone does it. And, well, no, actually, no, not all of them. Leicester aren't.
But yeah, okay, well, it could potentially be, another solution could potentially be, you know how you have marquee players who are brought in from outside of the league, you yep. could potentially have positions outside of the salary cap for academy products. Where you could go, I've turned you into a absolute world class superstar. I'll still have to pay you the money, but in terms of the cap, we can park you outside the cap.
Yeah,
yeah, academy internationals
or
something like that.
Let me just think about like why that wouldn't work. I don't see why it wouldn't actually, because presumably Mario Itoje then couldn't go to Bath for double the money, because he would be inside the cap.
He'd be inside Bath's cap. He'd be outside of Saracen's cap, so he'd be worth way more.
Yeah. So what is the downside to that? I mean, I guess the downside to that is the player's personal earnings can then be capped by the club, who say, well, you can't go anywhere else, mate, so we're only going to pay you 2/3 of your market value.
Yeah, but that's a good point. Although he could always go to France.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean he couldn't go somewhere else. It just incentivizes clubs to develop youngsters.
Yeah, and actually, as long as there's a salary cap in place,
yeah,
it's fine.
I guess the difficulty would be, theoretically, your salary cap all of a sudden becomes massive. So Saracens, if they've got half a dozen guys, that each one of them worth nearly £1 million a year,
yeah.
All of a sudden you've got double the salary cap.
And also you're then going to start pinching other academy lads, or they're going to start stealing kids away and putting them in, you know, some private school when they're 12, because that's when the cutoff is.
6 years old, like football clubs do.
Yeah, so
and they sign 100 kids at 6 years old, and 99 of them just get thrown on the scrap heap by the time they're 12.
I had a client who worked at a large football club. I won't say which one, Premiership club, and that's exactly what they did. They would bring in God knows how many 7-year-olds to play goalkeeper and keep two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The attrition rate is astonishing.
It's like the Unsullied army in Game of Thrones. That, you know, just chuck them in the sea, put them on a mountain with wolves, and the ones that come back
Hang
are the ones
on.
We
Have
want.
Have we not had enough feedback from Game of Thrones?
Anyway, feel free to give us your thoughts on anything we've talked about at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. An email, contacteggchasers@gmail.com. Are there any clubs we're still waiting for a kind of season preview on?
I don't think I've had one from Cardiff. We'll make that up.
Really?
No, I don't think we've had Scarlets.
Surprising.
I don't think we've had...
Maybe it's not surprising when people have heard us talking about Pro 14 or Pro 12 in the past.
Well, yeah, and particularly the Welsh clubs. who else have we not heard from? I think we've got everyone from the Premier
League. Yeah, we've got everyone.
But if you do want to, you know, make your feelings known about your club,
yeah,
send them over, because we'll just...
We'll have a write reply. You
know, we'll mix them up.
It's always good to get a few opinions as well.
Yeah. Exactly. I also need to make an apology. I need to make two apologies. So the first,
first one to Ireland, to the IRFU. Or,
yeah, for having the situation horribly wrong.
The Irish World Cup bid. Yeah,
yeah, well, yeah. You're going to get all of your games in Ireland. There you go. Hope you're happy now.
Yeah, so the Gaelic Association, Athletic Association, or whatever it's called, GAA, are supporting the Irish Rugby World Cup bid for 2023, which is a really, really nice move. And so they're able to have all the stadia and all the games inside Ireland, which, of course, is already a cross-border competition because it's the Republic and Northern
and the other one. okay, and the other apology is to the people that sent in the Glasgow Warriors reports or previews, because I never mentioned their names. So I'm going to mention one name now, Craig Taylor. Sorry for not mentioning you in the previews. Top man, thank you. I do appreciate it. And I'll issue the other two apologies to the other two guys who have not got their names now next week.
Very good.
Oh, dear.
Shall we finish off with anything else? Like, if you're going to Philadelphia, please catch up with us. We'll be in New York for 2 days, Philadelphia for 2 days, and we'll be mostly playing rugby, watching rugby and drinking.
Mostly drinking.
A bit of rugby.
Yes. I'm still not 100% convinced on the idea.
I'm going to play on the wing. I've decided I'm going to play on the wing. Out the way.
Well, I can maybe play on the wing.
Yeah, I'm going to play on one. You can play on the other wing.
I get too involved, though.
Humble brag.
No.
I hit too
no,
hard.
No, no, no. And my body's too much of a wreck and it falls apart.
Fullback.
I was in the gym. I was doing an upper body exercise and tweaked my right quad the other day. I'm not sure I can hack a game of rugby these days.
I can't turn my head to the right because of pull-ups. that I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just too many pull-ups.
I was early to say, too many pull-ups, yeah.
I went to gym today, did nothing but arm curls. So I
did. Did you do them in the squat rack?
Obviously. No other place.
Oh, boys!
Well, I'm not putting my barbell down on the floor.
I know that this is an audio product primarily, but I've got a picture here, and I might even put it onto the Egg Chasers Twitter with Tim's... Tim's permission.
I already like the sound of it. I've no idea what it is.
It's a picture of a man that I took in the gym, and I'll let...
I love gym fails.
Tim, describe what you're
seeing. Oh, my God. It's a man putting a 15-kilogram plate onto probably a bench press.
Yep.
And he's wearing Lycra.
Look at the shorts.
Lycra top, and the Lycra shorts are very, very tight. I mean, they're Lycra. They're cycling shorts, but not Johnny May down to the knees. These are barely below the ball bag, and they are pink and white camouflage.
Yeah, so what you're seeing here, right, is a man, and he's a composite of several different men. So his shorts are like pink, yellow, and brown camouflage.
So his shorts...
Yeah, they're like the sort of the Craig, the what's his name, the James Bond guy,
Daniel Craig. I was thinking more beach volleyball.
Yeah, Daniel Craig. So he's got the head of a Russian gangster, the body of a U.S. Navy SEAL, and the legs of Graham Norton. It's unbelievable.
I saw someone today. So you know, in some, talking about pull-ups, there are these little contraptions which it's like a padded thing you put your knees on. Assisted pull-up. That's it. So you put your knees on this thing, and it helps you do the pull-up. There was a fella there today who was in. Oh God, that's outrageous! They look like almost Quinn's colours.
Mm.
They could be Quinn's. He was in a pretty garish get-up himself, this fella, and he obviously didn't know what this assisted pull-up thing was. So rather than kneeling on it and holding the bar above his head and doing pull-ups, he was putting his foot on top of the thing where you're going to put your knees and pushing
and
down.
Yeah,
and doing like a.
So I've seen girls doing that as like a glute. Exercise, like a glute raise.
Oh God, it's
type
a thing.
Yeah, I saw a guy.
I've never seen guys doing it.
I saw a guy on Friday on his back, pushing up with his feet on the Smith machine.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
What?
Just do a squat. Just to go on a leg press machine.
Who are these people?
That does remind me of. So that I've only seen women doing that. Ladies, women. Women doing that.
Women, girls. No.
Voluntary females. Non-binaries.
Assumed cisgender females doing it. One of our dear friends, friend of the pod, Steve Elliott, he texted our rugby group saying, what do you think of this workout that I've started doing?
And it's like, amazing.
There's a couple of, well, there's a personal trainer and there's a few of us who quite like the gym in that group. And we're like, it's a very feminine workout. And he's like, yeah, it's the one that a personal trainer's given to my girlfriend. It was all like...
The bikini, yeah. bikini booty body workout.
Yeah.
talk about kind of, you know, what is the saying? Like saving a penny and then just missing out the point. Just pay for your own personal training.
Yeah. He was screwing over one of our friends as well.
He was actually.
By not paying for the personal training session.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No.
If you're going to train, do it properly.
It's the moral of that story and a good one to end on as well. So I think we're done, gents.
Just one more thing. Go on, Phil. Rugby Championship next weekend.
Oh my God, of course. We should do our Leo Vegas Bet of the Week.
We should.
Bledisloe 1.
Oh, goodness me. Hang on. Oh, battle stations.
It's been a while, hasn't it? That's right. With LeoVegas.com. Leo Vegas love their rugby. We do as well. That's why it's the perfect partnership. And it's the perfect place for you to have a little flutter on the rugby, which this weekend sees New Zealand take on Australia in Bledisloe 1 to start the Rugby Championship. Sorry, did I say that right? Is it New Zealand v Australia or Australia v New Zealand?
It is Bledisloe I.
But it's in Sydney, isn't it?
It is.
I said it the wrong way around. So I said New Zealand.
Yes,
first.
It's in Australia.
Yes.
Hmm.
The Australian Rugby Union is in a pretty difficult situation.
Bill Polvo, whatever his name is, has stepped down. As he killed off the Western Force.
Yeah, he put the bolt in the back of the head. And then
killed himself.
I dropped the gun and handed himself in.
Well, I thought he put the bolt in their head and then put the bolt in his head.
In his own head, gone, maybe, yeah.
I'm going to say, conservatively, 650-0 to the All Blacks.
It'd be interesting to see. So the All Blacks narrowly drew, should have won a series against the Lions. Australia lost to Scotland at home. It's not looking pretty for Australia, in all honesty. And they've brought a load of new guys into the squad. There's a load. Look down this list. There's a load of names I just don't recognise. And obviously, I've not been following Australian rugby Australian Super Rugby as closely as I have done. Because they're not winning games.
Rubbish.
Brumbies got into the knockouts as about the ninth ranked team in the tournament. They were only there because Australia guaranteed a place.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at these players, and they are names I recognise, but they're not...
All of them?
Not
there's
all
a lot.
Them.
There's a lot of names.
I mean, there's... Crikey.
A lot of names I do not recognise.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you here.
Bill Meeks has been called up.
Has he?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 uncapped players to go against the best team the world has ever seen in any sport.
And a team who can afford to completely drop Julian Surveyor.
Yeah. I think the big hope here is Curtly Beale is a golden bullet that on his own can beat the All Blacks. And they
have we seen that before, ever?
Yes, I've seen I think I've seen Curtly Beale beat the All Blacks on his own. I think he slotted a last second kick. It could have been South Africa, but it could have been New Zealand. But a last second kick from I think the 10 meters right on his touchline. So
if the right Will Genya turns up, then actually that back line is pretty handy. The starting back line.
Yeah, probably
pretty handy.
So Bernard Foley has not been the same player
for the past couple
of years.
So I'll say that Genya and Foley then.
Yeah, Genya and Foley, if they turn up, you could probably then have Curtly Beale. Kieran Drani's not been the same player. Haylett Petty's not been the same player.
I think more
Folau is probably the one. He's the go-to man. He is the same player. He's still incredible.
Yeah, I think for Australia, the big problem is that the All Blacks have seen what they look like over and over again. And I can't see them looking any different this time than what they have previous. They're not a team that change much. They do one thing, they do it reasonably well, but the one thing isn't even nearly good enough to beat the All Blacks, and that's their problem.
And in Super Rugby, I'm probably wrong in the actual number, but it was something like 25-0 New Zealand versus Australia games this season.
I tell you the most worrying thing as well. Like, you can see kind of green shoots with South Africa. You can see each of their franchises, they're doing something slightly different, and you know there's a, you know, kind of coaching experiments going on during the actual tournament itself. With Australia, it's just we'll field whoever we can afford to pay,
whoever we can drag in from the NRL or bring in.
The quality of their pack just does not, on just the names I'm looking at, does not look up to it.
Doesn't seven debut players kind of seem a bit desperate?
Michael Hooper, obviously outstanding, and we've seen Tamani do some good things, but just that front five, I just think they're going to get battered.
Yeah. 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 Even some of their some of their players who've got caps.
Palotta now's got 71 caps.
So Palotta now and Stephen Moore. Stephen Moore's probably a little bit past it now.
He's retiring at the end of the year.
But some of the players who are capped, I've not heard of. Ned Hannigan.
Big Ned.
Jack Dempsey.
Oh, Ned.
I've heard of Jack Dempsey.
Tatera Faulkner.
Well, maybe we're completely wrong. Maybe this is exactly what they need.
Joe Powell,
Big Joe,
Big Joe scrum half. Joe Powell.
Oh dear.
This is going to be New Zealand.
Well, look, if they, as I keep saying, if they really knew, they wouldn't bother playing. So
yeah,
hopefully some of these lads will, you know, go on the green and gold.
And
when
you're doing nicknames, Aussies just put O on the end. You know, like in
Simo.
like English English footballers just put Y on the end of names.
Yeah.
So it'll be Paolo.
Dempso.
Paolo. Hodjo.
Duggo.
Hodjo.
Bielo.
Yep.
Folio.
Does... okay, what is the lowest score that New Zealand will win by? Let's do it that way.
New Zealand will score more than 40 points.
Okay.
I think Australia can, on a good day, score possibly around the 20 mark. So I'm going to say New Zealand will win by at least 20.
20 points.
I'm going to say New Zealand by... Yeah, do you know what? New Zealand by 20.
I'm going to go New Zealand by 30, but I'll caveat with this. I really want Australia to win.
Oh.
I want Australia to win so much it hurts. And it's not because I hate the All Blacks, because I don't hate the All Blacks. I do marginally dislike Steve Hansen, but I don't hate the All Blacks. In fact, I've got a ton of respect for him. The reason I want Australia to win is because if they get hammered by 40 points or 30 points or whatever it is, and they get hammered again, and they get hammered again, what is this going to do for the global game?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a disaster of epic proportion. If Australia... miss out if Australia lose interest in rugby union because these bunch of clowns can't play, it's going to be an absolute travesty. So all that history gone, everything gone. So pull yourself together, Australia, go and do a good job, just make it respectable, please. Having said that, I think they're going to lose by 30 points.
Yeah,
bloody oath.
And then the other game, South Africa host Argentina.
And this could be close.
Well, I'm so disillusioned with Argentina.
Yes.
Since the conception of the Jaguares. Mm. I thought it was going to be the springboard for them. Like, the team unity, the togetherness, the experience of just all of their players playing week in, week out. And they've just seemed to use it as, like, I don't know, a random number generator for tactics.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Maybe they have got closer. Maybe they, they enjoy drinking more together.
They really enjoy.
A bit of midweek polo.
Yeah.
But...
a lot of red wine and steak.
Has it really affected the Pumas, though? Because did they not turn over South Africa last year in South Africa?
Well, rugby championship since 2012. How many games have Argentina won?
Ooh.
Two?
Three. Yeah, but I mean,
and it's not that they've been improving.
And how many rugby championships have they been in now?
Well, that's since 2012.
Oh wow, it's been a while then.
This will be number five or number six.
Yeah,
so they won one last year, which was, I can tell you now, it was against South Africa in Argentina.
Oh, yes. Was it? Okay, so
in Salta,
Argentina will lose. They're going to lose by 15 points, which I need to happen because I'm hoping. This season coming now is going to be the great revival for South African rugby. That's what I'm hoping for.
I think you're two seasons early. I think they will actually peak in time for the World Cup.
I think you're right. I think it's a far rosier garden there than it is for Australia. And they're my only real hope of the All Blacks getting a good game this year.
Completely agree with that.
I do love... there's a few Argentinian players that are really, really... really got a lot of time for. Who's that? What's the Issa? Is it the number 8?
Yeah.
Will he be playing?
You know, he's not in the squad.
Yeah, because he's now at Toulon.
Toulon, yeah, of course he's not in the squad.
He's a hell of a player.
Is it Orlando, the outside centre?
Orlandi.
He just throws ridiculous passes.
And who's the massive lock?
There's Petty.
Lavanini.
He is hard.
Yeah.
He's a hard Argentine stallion of a man. He's one of the few guys that...
you'd let him impregnate your wife.
What?
No, I'm joking.
What? Oh, a golden Timism. I was going to say, I'd like to see him stand up against Eben Etzebeth.
Oh, yes, that would be good.
They seem to be cut from the same sort of cloth.
Mm. It's going to be a forward-oriented, just a beast fest.
Yes. Beast.
Imagine the amount of...
my favourite adult film. Oh dear.
Right, I think we should do one. So,
On
that note, we haven't even mentioned the wonderful Cornerstone.
Go buy some razors at Cornerstone.
Yeah, Egg 10 at checkout.
You know the drill.
Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Loads of people are doing it. So get on board. Get yourself a cracking deal. Right, let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Goodbye.
Hi.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.